Good morning. We are beginning a brand new sermon series this morning. And what is great about starting a new series is that we're all on the same page again. Because we are looking through this sermon series, although it says 5-week sermon series at the bottom, it should say 6. Because it's a 6-week sermon series through the letter to the Colossians, titled Christ Alone, because Jesus alone is enough, because it is all about Christ. And what is interesting about this to Colossians is that they were not founded directly by Paul. They were founded through Paul's ministry on his third missionary journey. There was someone by the name of Epaphras that got converted in Ephesus, and he went to Colossae and he planted the church there. And now Paul is writing this letter to them, and he's speaking into a interesting situation that they found themselves in. And one thing that is good to keep in mind is that Paul wrote this letter while being imprisoned himself, and you just see this expression of joy that he carries with him, even though he is imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. But what is interesting about this church is that Paul writes so to them to correct a few things, is what scholars call the Colossian heresy. There were some things going around that they believed, and Paul wrote to correct them because they believed Jesus was not enough. There were some people that came in and wanted to get them to believe that although they are saved through Jesus, they still need higher things. And you find the syncretism of Jewish myths that come in, and the Judaizers that say, yes, Jesus is enough, but you also need some law. You also need some of that which Christ fulfilled. You still need some of that. And on the other side, there was Gnosticism, and Gnostics, just to explain it, they were the guys that living in the sky, like, you just need a higher knowledge. That's all you needed, just a higher knowledge. And the more you can think of this higher knowledge, the more you are saved. And Paul writes to them, and he says, makes one thing abundantly clear to them, is saying that Jesus is enough. That could be the second title to the sermon series, is saying that Jesus is enough, because he is. And in this mix, Paul writes to clarify that you just need Jesus. There's no Jesus plus or Jesus this. And I think the sermon series is coming at the right time for us as believers to reflect on, because Jesus is enough. And maybe we wanted or gravitated towards, especially in the middle of the year, where we gravitate towards finding significance in our work, finding significance in our status or our influence, and finding significance in what we do rather than who we are, and that is a child of God, is that maybe we've gravitated towards saying, well, maybe I need Jesus and good works. Maybe I need Jesus and being a good parent. Maybe I need Jesus and this and that and this and that. Jesus and, you can fill in the blank. But the thing is that everything you need is Jesus. It's enough in him. And through the sermon series, I pray that you feel this way that I'm going to explain now. V and I, when we go on a date night, we don't need to book a place. We just know where we're going, and that is buffet sushi. That's where we go. Eat as much as you can sushi for a set price, and we found a great place that not just do sushi, but anything on the starter menu, plus some dim sums and ice cream. So you really get your full, and it's incredible when you sit down and you order, you just go like, well, I'm just going to order one of everything. And then you wait for it to come, and then it comes. And then you eat everything up, and you're like, there's room for more. Let me order more. And you just order more and more. Well, me, maybe. So, and there's just room for more. And when you get to the end, it's like, let me order another dim sum. Let me order some. They have this great sushi that is rice paper with strawberry and honey. That is just amazing. That's like dessert, like that you leave for the end. And then you get your ice cream. And then on the way home, I'm like, should we stop for some snacks? And then V's like, how is there more space? How is there more room? I don't know. There's just more room. Like, I was full then, but now I'm there. There's just more room. And I pray that is how you feel through the sermon series, that the more you get of Jesus, the more you feel there's more room for him, because you're so full of Jesus. Because you're going to be full of Jesus, spending 6 weeks just preaching on Jesus. I cannot think of anything better to do. Because Jesus is enough. It is Christ alone. Jesus is enough. And maybe, sometimes I'm guilty of this, is that we want to grow closer to Christ, and instead of going to him, we go to things. And you think, maybe if I work on being a better husband, I'll be a better child of God. Maybe if I parent better, then I'll be closer to God. Or maybe if I steward my work and employment well, then I'll be closer to Jesus. Or if I focus on my health, then I'll be closer to Jesus. But the thing is that there is no replacement for going to Christ. And my second prayer for this morning is that you've come to a place where you say, sorry, Lord, that I ever wanted more than you. Sorry, Lord, that I ever wanted more than you, because Jesus is enough. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray that as we go through this series and as we go through to Colossians, Jesus, that you will reveal yourself to us, that we will know without a shadow of doubt, authentic and real, that Jesus, you are enough. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. This morning's sermon I've titled The Gospel Effect. It's the effect of the gospel. And we see, just by knowing that Paul went to plant in Ephesus, someone got saved, and that person that got saved went to plant in another area. And we read this letter written to that area that Paul never visited. Paul never went to them. And it's just so incredible that these guys are, that Paul is writing to them, but I'm jumping ahead. And the thing is that the gospel effect, it is God's doing in us and God's doing through us. Because God works in us and through us. And sometimes we feel, well, God, I'm not ready to be used by you. Well, it's not about that. It's God's doing in you and through you. It's just being ready. Like I explained last week with the cup. It is the gospel that produces fruit in us. We don't come and plant our own fruit. It's not like we have a lemon tree and then I remove all the lemons and I go buy a lemon at Spa because it's the closest to us. And then I go and I staple this lemon to this lemon tree and say, oh, look at this beautiful lemon tree. It might look like a beautiful lemon tree when you see it, when you drive into our yard and you see it, oh, look at this beautiful lemon tree. But that lemon will rot because you cannot grow your own fruit. It's God's doing. It is being rooted in him. Abide in me and I will abide in you. And from that comes fruit. And the thing is that there is all this knowledge that we can know of all these things. And there's so much we can know about Jesus. And it is on you to know them and to do something with them. It is up to us to go and search and look and find. But we have to know this. With all this knowledge and everything, remember, it is God who does it in you and through you. You cannot do it on your own. And I want to read for us. I'm in two minds whether I need to read 1 verse 1 to 14 and then go back or just go through the verses. So I think I'll just go through the verses paragraph by paragraph and then circle back. Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now, Colossae was not a really great city. It used to be a great city, but then they moved the road to go through Ephesus, so they were just like there. Small village, small to population. And still Paul writes to them to encourage them in the faith, because we will see that he's heard so much about them. And it is so significant because this church, if you look at the map and they saw his historical background, that they are not that significant. It's not like Ephesus or Rome, like these big cities that had these seven wonders of the world in Ephesus. But Paul just writes to the small church, and it speaks something, because we need to know that God is saying to us that your worth is not found in your perceived significance. Your worth is not found in your perceived significance. It is found in your received salvation. Your worth comes from Christ on the cross. That's where your worth comes from. That maybe you struggle in your relationship with God because you feel you are not enough for Him. But the thing is that you are enough for Him, because He came and He gave His life for you so that you can have life. And you might feel you are insignificant, but God wants to use you and do things through you. Just know that God wants to use you, and He wants to do things through you. And you might say, Lord, I cannot speak, like Jeremiah, and God saying, I will give you the words to speak. You just go and do, and I'll do the rest. And it is not about if we are enough, because Jesus is enough for us. Let me read on verse 38. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. It is the gospel that saves you. That so many times, as a growing believer, I had a fright there. Anyway, don't know what that was. Let's move on. As a growing believer, I used to have this one question, is how do I grow spiritually? Now that I'm saved, now what? I even have a book on my shelf that's survived all these years. It's Afrikaans, so I've not read much of it. It says, saved, now what? In Afrikaans. Anyway. Saved, now what? Because that was the question, is now that I'm saved, now that I'm in a relationship with Jesus, and I'm going to church and I'm worshiping and I'm doing all these things, what now? What now? Because the thing is that the gospel that saves you is the gospel that grows you, because the gospel is enough. That you came in through sacrifice and surrender. Sorry. Surrender got you saved. Surrender is what keeps you saved. Is what keeps you in. Is living a life of surrender. Is that you don't go beyond the gospel, because what could there be more than the truth of Jesus? You don't go beyond it, you just go deeper in it. And I never realized it until I realized it, and it changed everything, that remaining at the feet of Jesus is the place to be, because Jesus is enough. The more we study, the more we discover, the more I just realized two things. I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. And I don't know much, because the more you learn, the more you just realize how little you know. It's very opposite. Like, you embark on knowledge and you're like, oh, I don't know anything. The fruit of the Spirit produces Paul is thanking God for their growth. And I think if I can just do a side quest here on this, is that I wonder how our attitudes will change towards others if we start to thank God for the growth that He has done in their lives. I think it will change the conversation completely, thanking God for the growth that He's doing in someone else's life. And that is what Paul is saying. He is thanking God for their growth, that your growth is not your glory. Your growth is not someone else's glory. You guys growing under sermons that you hear in GBC, it's not me. It's God doing the growing. It's Him. It is only Him. No man can ever claim anything to say, "Ah, I had an influence." And Paul says it so beautifully in saying that, I planted, Topolos planted, but it is God that brings the growth. It is His glory. It is for Him. He gets all the glory. And what grows us is the gospel. That hearing the good news about Jesus Christ, that is what you responded on. That's what saved you. And continuing in that good news of the gospel, what Jesus did for you is what continues to sanctify you. It continues to grow you and change you. That we don't need to look much further than Jesus, because He is enough. I got saved through exploring other options and found them extremely, extremely depressing and extremely lacking. But I remember the day that I heard the gospel preached and everything in me just moved my body to the front. And I was there praying the sinner's prayer and I got saved. And life has never been the same since that day. And sometimes, like, what more can I do to be more saved? Well, spend time with Jesus. Remain in His Word, because that is enough. And these guys, they were taught, as we'll see throughout the series, that it's so good that you have Jesus, but maybe you still need one or two things from the law to be saved. Or maybe you still need this mystery knowledge. That there's some higher knowledge out there that supersedes Jesus on the cross. And how could that be? Because nothing satisfies the human soul than being reconnected back to its Maker. There's nothing that satisfied the human soul. People search for it in so many places. People search for it in addictions and alcohol. And lifestyle choices in the workplace. Because we don't feel life is enough as it is. That if I'm just a better parent or a better spouse or a better employee, then maybe something in me will change. Jesus is enough. It's way too much of a burden to put on my wife what I'm lacking and expecting her to fulfill it. Because I don't have a V-shaped hole in my heart. I have a God-shaped hole in my life. And only God is big enough to fill that hole. We are meant to enjoy life with our spouses, not find meaning in them. Because that's lacking. Because it's a human. Anyway, it was 9 to 10. Then we really get going. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Here he's saying that if you want knowledge, let me pray for you to have knowledge. What is knowledge that they should have about of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding? That you don't know beyond Christ, but that you know Christ more, that you know His will for your life, that you know His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Like Paul just likes to set people up. Like every letter, or most of the letters that he writes to a group, he starts with this good theology and he builds up and he's like, "Oh, this is great, this is great." And then he just goes into application now that you've heard the good news of the gospel, this is how you live it out. And he's saying, and he's doing the same, he's saying that asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Oh Lord, how do I do that? And then he just lays it down so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Wow. So this knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding translate into the way I live. And the way I need to live is in a way worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Just so beautiful. Because he's saying, this knowledge of God's will and understanding translate into how you live. And we look at that in another sermon when we get to chapter 3 and turns that direction. But the thing is that the gospel produces fruit in you and through. It is the gospel effect that once you get to know Jesus and you grow in your knowledge and your understanding of him and you learn his will for your life. Lord, what is your will for my life? Well, to give you a blanket answer, one size fits all, is that God wants to use you. He wants to do something in you and he wants to do something through you. That is his will. What it looks like may differ from one person to the other, but that God wants to use people to reach people, that's a mystery that is so fascinating, but it's in God's will, because in Matthew 28 he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Meaning, go and tell others of Jesus so that they grow to a point where they can tell others about Jesus. God uses people to reach people. It's amazing. Saying that God produces growth. Then we go on from verse 11 to 14. It says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks so to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And one thing that is interesting is that how do we grow in this fruit? How do I get more of this fruit? Because I cannot go and buy my own fruit and put up a display of saying that I have a display of friendliness, but in my heart, it's not true. And then sooner or later, this fruit that I'm displaying is found to be lacking because it's not coming from abiding in God. So how do I get that fruit, that authentic fruit, so that when the cage is shaken, when life hits, fruit, true fruit falls and it can be eaten and tasted and it's good and it's sweet and it has a resemblance of God. How do I grow in this fruit? And the thing is, Paul is saying, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. It means if you want to grow spiritually, you have to go through some things. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to go through some things with patience and endurance, with joy and thanksgiving. That's a sermon in its own. Four ways to go through your season. Patience, endurance, with joy and thanksgiving. That's how you go through something. You cannot grow the fruit you need that only a season can produce. Let me give this example, maybe fitted to an American audience, but when a storm comes and you have cows and bison in the field, a cow, when he sees a storm coming, he turns around the opposite direction and he goes wherever the storm is not going. But what happens is that the storm catches the cow and the cow moves in the storm. But a bison, he sees the storm and he goes to the storm, because the bison, an animal, knows if you go through the storm, you're going to be in it and through it a lot faster than the cow. And the bison knows that the freshly watered grass is much better that side of the storm than this side of the storm. that sometimes you just have to face it and go through it with patience and endurance, with joy and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that I get to go through this. Lord, what are you doing through this season in my life? Is it a self-inflicted difficult season because then I need to repent and make right? Is it just life hitting? Going through it with joy and thanksgiving is what produces the fruit. You cannot be ready for a season that you are not in yet. It's the season that makes you ready so that you go through it the other side. And marriage does it so beautifully. Iron sharpens iron. Like you can think you can leave your dirty laundry there. There will be a rough season, but you will learn from that season that I need to put my laundry in the laundry basket. Some things you have to learn through going through the process, and human relationships work that way. And I just pray that people grow to be more honest, to just say, hey, that thing you did, please help me. I don't understand. Because it is the unspoken communication that causes the most damage. Unspoken communication. And then he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. You get saved by making a choice to say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. But it's God's doing. He says, God is the one that qualifies you. You don't qualify yourself. And I'm so thankful for that because I think I'm just completely disqualified. But it's God who qualifies you to share in the inheritance. And if you ever feel any one way, just know this, it's God who qualifies you to receive salvation because Jesus paid the price. This book is so thick, full of theology about Jesus. It is just so, like, Jesus is in every sentence, just, it's there. Like, it is what Jesus has done. And you are qualified because God has qualified you. It's something we as believers need to know because there's a difference between righteousness and sanctification, or righteousness and justification. Justification means God looks at us and he sees Christ's sacrifice. Therefore, we are justified before God. Before we knew Jesus, God saw us as sinners. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, God sees us as forgiven. And righteousness means that we are made right with God. That there used to be separation, but now there's no more separation. That we are made right. We are restored back to the right relationship with God. And that has so much bearing and so much significance. And from that flows sanctification. That's the process where I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever had to wash your clothes with your hands, then you know it's a terrible process. Especially the whites, like Omo. I don't know how some guys get their clothes so white, but I had a season where I had no washing machine. I had to wash my clothes with my hands. Like even as a kid, that's how I used to wash my clothes. Like, my grandma says, this is how you wash your clothes. And the more you wash and the... Yes. I know that feeling. I know that struggle. Like, you need to get this white. And it's a process. And sometimes God has to take this white shirt messed with mud and he has to wash it. And he uses his blood to wash us. And when we come out white, as Revelation say, we are washed by the blood of Christ. That he is busy washing you. So if you feel a little bit wet this morning, just know God is washing you. One for me, thanks. second one, thank you guys. But this is it, is that he has delivered us, verse 13, from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is the greatest, most significant thing. That God has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And in him we have forgiveness. That thing that you're thinking about that maybe you did this morning or yesterday or a few years back or whatever. That thing that the enemy comes and he says, I remember what you did. Before God, you are forgiven. You have a clean slate. You have been transferred from the dominion of darkness into the dominion of light. In the dominion of darkness, we know that the ruler of this world, who is Satan, had influence, but you've been transferred out of that into the kingdom of light, where Jesus is king. And Jesus is the name that is above every other name, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and you stand forgiven before God. That we used to live in Randburg, but when I drive from anywhere and I go home, I don't go back there. I go to where I live now because I have nothing to do with that old life. I have nothing to do with the old domain of darkness because God has moved me out of it into a kingdom, into his light. And there I am forgiven. It's like when you see Mr. Bean, for those that remember, it always started with him lying on the floor and then this white light shined on him. And then there's just darkness around him. That is you in the kingdom of light. It's just this light over you. And it's from that place that we live. It is from that that we find our significance in our work because and our worth because Jesus has done it. And if you feel discouraged this morning and you're thinking, how will that thing ever change in my life? Know this. You are moved from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. And that changes the way we live. It changes the way we pray. It changes the way we look at our struggles. Because although, bear with me, although your struggles might be current, the sin is in the past. Because Jesus dealt with it on the cross. And as we wrestle with these things still here, just say, Lord, I know you've moved me into the kingdom, into your dominion, where you are God, and let this break over my life. Begin to pray from that space. Begin to live from that space, because that is the gospel effect. That when we live with the reality of what Christ has done, life can never be the same. And my prayer for you this morning is that you will grow with patience, endurance, facing it with joy and thanksgiving. Because when we express joy and thanksgiving, our focus is on Christ, looking at him saying, Lord, what do you want to show me? What is there that needs to change? What fruit needs to grow? Do I need patience? I mean, I was a college student with a college student budget, and I drove a Fola, a Beetle. Man, that's one way that God teaches you patience and endurance with joy, because when you have to push that thing just to jumpstart, you're full of joy when it takes. But Lord, yeah, that's what God does. Sometimes we go through situations and things because God is busy pruning us. And I'm not neglecting the reality of the enemy that wants to discourage us. But even in that, we go through it with patience and endurance because it strengthens our faith and our zeal for the Lord. And I'm also not neglecting that some stuff you go through, man, you just need to make better choices. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results. And maybe someone just needs to hear, make smarter choices with your life. Because not smart choices will produce some not great effects. But even in that, God prunes us and teaches you in saying, Lord, maybe I need wisdom around this. Maybe I need to do things different. And then there is that which comes from God to shape us and change us. God has used this church to shape me significantly. That it doesn't matter if there's one person or 10 preachers, if there's 100. Because that's what I'm trusting God for. I'm trusting Him for 100 people. And He had to sometimes come, and I had to repent for my discouragement, because I know the Lord is at work. He is busy doing. And I need to look to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. Let me pray. Father, I thank You that You are busy with us, and that You love us so much, and that You are so wise, that You know the best means for the best end, and that is what You want for us. And I pray, Lord, as Paul prayed over the to Colossians, I pray over us, that You may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May You be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Because Jesus, You have delivered us from a dominion of darkness, and You've transferred us to the kingdom where You are King. And that we can stand forgiven and free. Lord, and I pray for that guilt and that shame to break in Jesus' name. Because there are now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Galatians 5:1, for freedom you've been set free. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And may you know this morning that Jesus is enough. Amen and amen. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. May it be well with your soul. And may there be opportunities for growth. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Be blessed. And enjoy Father's Day. If you plan to braai, enjoy it.